Welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall, joined in the studio by J. Wynn Russick, our theater critic. Good to see you, Judy.
Good to be here, Tom.
So we're going to talk about the Everyman Theater. They've got a couple of plays that are rotating in a repertory. One's called Queen's Girl in the World. The other is called Queen's Girl in Africa. Now, of course, Everyman has done plays in repertory before, but this is a bit different. In what way?
Well, yes, they have done this before. A couple seasons ago, they did Arthur Miller's Death of a Salesman in rep with Tennessee Williams' Streetcar Named Desire. But this time, the two plays are by a single playwright, Colleen Sinnott Jennings. She's a D.C. area-based professor at American University. And as you might guess from the titles, they're about the same character, a young woman from Queens, New York. These plays are largely autobiographical. They are the coming-of-age story of an African-American teenager that the playwright calls Jacqueline Marie Butler. They're both one-woman shows, but they're performed by different actresses. Dawn Ursula, a favorite at Everyman, plays Jackie from age 12 until the family moves to Nigeria before she starts high school. And then Erica Rose plays Jackie in Nigeria from high school until she leaves for college back in the States. The two plays can stand alone, but I have to say, after you see Queen's Girl in the World, you're going to want to see Queen's Girl in Africa. And Everyman has commissioned a third play in this series. It's going to be called Queen's Girl, Black in the Green Mountains, and that'll be part of next season. So these current plays are the first two parts of a trilogy, and this is the first time they've been performed together.
So what exactly is it about the life of Jackie, or what we're really talking about is the life of the playwright, Colleen Sinnott Jennings, that makes her interesting enough to sustain a trilogy of plays? You gotta have a story to tell here.
Yes. I can only speak, of course, for the first two plays, but part of the interest is the time period. They're set during the turbulent 60s. Jackie's father and later Jackie herself are very involved in the civil rights movement. Her father's a West Indian-born doctor, Dr. Charles Norman Butler. He's a big civil rights proponent. There's actually a scene of Jackie meeting Malcolm X when he comes to visit their home, and later she volunteers for the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. She also starts out in the rather rough Queens neighborhood, and then her mother, who's a teacher, enrolls her in what Jackie calls a mostly white, mostly Jewish, mostly leftist Greenwich Village prep school. After Malcolm X is killed, her father is determined to get the family away from the violence in the United States, and he moves the family to Nigeria. That's Queen's Girl in Africa. But there's political unrest in Nigeria. So it is a very interesting, very distinctive life. And at the same time, we see Jackie grow up. She becomes interested in writing. She becomes interested in theater. I brought a clip from Queen's Girl in Africa. There's just been a military coup in Nigeria. You're going to hear actress Erica Rose play Jackie's father's boss, a South African doctor, George Dendricks. She plays her father, West Indian doctor Charles Butler. And at the very end, you're going to hear her as the very American Jackie.
Charlie, man, although I need you here, I won't blame you if you go. They'll get an earful if they call me. Julian Bond was just denied his seat in the Georgia legislature. And Klein just murdered Vernon Dahmer in Mississippi. No, I'll tell him I'm safer here in a coup. 2 days later, we learned that Major General Aguyi Ironsi is now in charge, and there is an opportunity for peace.
That's Erica Rose in Queen's Girl in Africa. It's at the Everyman Theater. So, Judy, this is a rare situation in which two different people, two actresses, portray the same person, the same protagonist. The plays are separate, but they're linked. Do the two portrayals seem like the same character? Is that important?
Well, interestingly, there's no attempt to make them look alike physically, but they do embody the same characteristics: intelligence, enthusiasm, curiosity, and in both plays we see that protagonist mature. One-person plays are really difficult to perform, and each of these is full length, about 2 hours, two acts with intermission. And what makes them even more difficult, as you might gather from the clip we just heard, is that each actress plays a slew of characters, about a dozen in Queens Girl in the world, half again as many in Africa, and there's this wide array of accents. Both actresses, I should point out, won Helen Hayes Awards, that's the Washington Tony Award, for their performances when the shows premiered in Washington. Dawn Ursula does a very good job as a preteen who's becoming more self-aware and self-sufficient. Erica Rose has the tougher job. The second play has more international characters, and she is just outstanding. The plays have the same director, Paige Hernandez, and that may contribute to this feeling that we're seeing the same character. Let's listen to Dawn Ursula as young Jackie. She's at a major turning point, her first day at private school.
I come out of PS 143, where Negro and Spanish kids sit in rows of wooden desks nailed to the floor and do not talk. I come into the Irwin School, where a room full of white kids move their desks around and talk all the time. Because everybody has ideas about everything.
Dawn Ursula, she's in Everyman Theater's production of Queens Girl in the World. So Judy, does Everyman use the same set for both plays?
It's basically the same. It's designed by Paige Hathaway, and a major feature is a wall of decorative cut-out concrete blocks. And that wall, the presence of that wall, sort of reminds us that wherever Jackie goes, her roots, her first home, stay with her.
So you said that after seeing the first one, Queens Girl in the World, you were very eager to see Queens Girl in Africa. The second one, are you stoked to see the third one?
I should say I saw both of the first two in the same day, which I really enjoyed doing and which listeners can do on weekends. I went to a student matinee of In the World. I went to a preview of In Africa. The students were a very strong audience. They were completely involved. But the preview audience just went wild. They sang along. They leapt to their feet. They cheered. In answer to your question, I certainly won't mind at all spending a little more time with Jackie.
Yeah, the Queen's Girl. So, by the way, Everyman has announced its season for next year, and there are some pretty big changes between next year and this one.
There are two major changes. In March, Everyman is going to open a second, smaller, new theater on the second floor. It's going to have 210 seats. They've expanded their season. This is the second major change. They've expanded their season to 8 plays, and 3 of them will be in a New Voices Festival. That's going to be performed in Repertory upstairs. And these 3 include that third installment of Queen's Girl, and they just got a nice NEA grant to support that. The other 2 plays in that festival are also by upcoming female playwrights. Berta Berta by Angelica Cherie, play set in 1920s Mississippi. It was the strongest play in my mind at last summer's Contemporary American Theater Festival in West Virginia. And the other one upstairs is called Cry It Out Loud. It's a play about young mothers by Molly Smith Metzler, whose writing credits include Orange is the New Black and Shameless. And then downstairs on the main stage, there's a play by another fairly new female playwright called Be It Now. The playwright is Deborah Zoe Laufer. And this is a play about a recently fired teacher who's suffering from depression. And it's a comedy. And then there's some more familiar playwrights and titles. They're going to do August Wilson's Radio Golf, which was the 1990s installment of his decade-by-decade chronicle of 20th century African-American life. They're going to do a recent adaptation of Agatha Christie's Murder on the Orient Express. The adaptation's by Ken Ludwig, a D.C.-based playwright. And they're going to do Clifford Odets, 1935, Awake and Sing, about a working-class Bronx family during the Depression. And I saved the first play for last. They're going to open the season with David Auburn's Pulitzer Prize winner Proof, which they did back in 2003, and the same actress, Megan Anderson, one of their resident company members, is going to return to her role as the daughter of a recently deceased mathematician. So it's a big, very American season, and I'm really eager to see that new theater.
Yeah, and isn't it nice that they really are clearly making a purposeful effort to diversify the kinds of people who are writing the plays, what the subject matter is about? I mean, the strong women representation, strong representation of African Americans. That's great. I mean, the new theater opened how long ago? I can't remember.
Oh, I don't remember that either.
Maybe.
No, longer than longer than that, I think. Yeah.
But, you know, it seems like it's really been a good fit. And clearly, if they're feeling in the mood to expand, that just means that the folks at Everyman are sanguine about the future. Yeah. That's
oh,
great.
Absolutely. People are finding their way there and they're liking what they see. And they have very flexible subscription options for this new season.
Good for them. I'm delighted that that's happening. So the two plays we talked about today, Queen's Girl in Africa and Queen's Girl in the World, they're in repertory, meaning that the, you know, one's done on one night, the other's done on the other night, and then on weekends you can see them both in the same day if you feel like it's there at the Everyman until June 23rd, and we've got information on our website, wypr.org/midday. So next week, Judy, we're going to go down to Annapolis, to the Annapolis Shakespeare Company. I saw a great, great show that they did there a couple of months ago, but next week we're going to talk about Oliver, huh?
Yes, the musical.
That's
please,
right.
Sir, may I have some more?
More gruel, please. All right, well, we look forward to it, and have a good holiday weekend. Thanks, Judy.
You too.
That's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, Stephen Brill is my guest. He's the founder of Court TV and American Lawyer magazine. He's going to talk about his latest book, Tailspin, The People and Forces Behind America's 50-Year Fall and Those Fighting to Reverse It. Brill delivers a compelling analysis of our nation's systemic problems, income inequality, political polarity, the marginalization of the middle class, and he chronicles a lot of really good proposals for solving those problems. Conversation with Stephen Brill, that's coming up tomorrow on Midday. Lunch for our guests today was provided by Eddie's of Roland Park, celebrating 75 years as Baltimore's gourmet grocer. Eddie's is making surprise workplace lunch drops every week this year as part of their year-long 75th anniversary celebration. For details, visit eddiesofrolandpark.com/anniversary. Stay tuned. Here and Now is up after the news at the top of the hour. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks so much for being with us. Have a great day.
This is 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station.